So this morning we'll take up case number 40 in the Blue Cliff record. Nonsense, this flower. Here's the introduction. When the action of the mind is stopped and swept away, the iron tree will bloom. Can you demonstrate it? Even a crafty fellow will become a cropper here. Even if he excels in every way, he will have his nostrils pierced. Where are the complications? See the following. So these introductions to koan are a way of pointing or preparing for the main case that's to follow. So here we have the pointer. When the action of the mind is stopped, the iron tree will bloom. Watch what the mind does. How can you possibly understand iron trees blooming? You can't understand iron trees blooming. In Zazen, we learn to stop this kind of addiction to the understanding mind, this addiction to the story. The effort in Zazen is to get out of the habit of this busyness of mind. Why? Well, this busyness acts like a haze, and it's in this haze that most of us live for most of our lives, with only momentary awakenings, stubbing our toe, seeing the Grand Canyon for the first time, moments when we have direct experience. We know these moments, but much of our life is caught in thoughts, drifting off to somewhere else. My little Zen calendar expresses this in a quote by Yang Chu. It says, "We pass by the joys of life without knowing we've missed anything." Hear this. We pass by the joys of life without knowing we've missed anything. Many of you are familiar with this experiment. It won a Pulitzer Prize. But it's a good example of this passing by the joys of life. Here it is. In a Washington, D.C. metro station on a cold January morning in 2007, a man with a violin played 6 Bach pieces for about 45 minutes. During that time, approximately 2,000 people went through the station, most of them on their way to work. After 3 minutes, a middle-aged man noticed there was a musician playing. He slowed his pace and stopped for a few seconds, and then hurried to meet his schedule. 4 minutes later, the violinist received his first dollar. A woman threw money in the hat, and without stopping, continued to walk. 6 minutes. A young man leaned against a wall to listen to him, then looked at his watch and started to walk again. 10 minutes. A 3-year-old boy stopped, but his mother tugged him along hurriedly. The kid stopped to look at the violinist again, but the mother pushed hard and the child continued to walk, turning his head all the time. This action was repeated by several other children. Every parent, without exception, forced their children to move on quickly. 45 minutes. The musician played continuously. Only 6 people stopped and listened for a short while. About 20 gave money but continued to walk at a normal pace. The man collected $32. 1 hour, he finished playing and silence took over. No one noticed. No one applauded, nor was there any recognition. No one knew this, but the violinist was Joshua Bell, one of the greatest musicians in the world. He played one of the most intricate pieces ever written, with a violin worth $3.5 million. 2 days earlier, Joshua Bell sold out a theater in Boston, where the seats averaged $100. This was organized by the Washington Post as part of a social experiment. So this practice of Zen is a practice of penetrating this haze. The practice of Zazen stops the addiction to grasping on to thoughts in the mind. When we put our mind on practice, the world of direct perception becomes available to us. And so, What keeps the iron tree from blooming? The very action of this associating, understanding, storytelling mind keeps the iron tree from blooming. There is a Zen expression, when the wooden man sings, the stone woman dances. How wonderful. This mind, this dreamy activity when stopped, will blossom or sing or dance or play the violin. Can you demonstrate this? Can you show the iron tree when the action of the mind is stopped? So, this is the pointer for the main case. Here's the main case. Riku Taifu, while talking with Nansen, said, Johoshi said, heaven and earth and I are of the same root. All things and I are of one substance. Isn't that absolutely fantastic? Nansen pointed to a flower in the garden, called Taifu to him, and said, people of these days see this flower as though they were in a dream. So, this is the koan. When I first encountered it, I was thrilled. Finally, I thought, an easy one. Here we have Nansen giving mindfulness instruction. Nansen pointing out, pay attention. Not untrue. Good advice. Don't be fooled. This koan is rich. Rich for the practice before awakening and rich for the practice after awakening. It offers wisdom to all of us. So let's take a look. We have here Riku Taifu, a government official who was a serious student of Nansen. We have no indication here of how long he had been Nansen's student. We don't know whether he was just beginning his practice or whether he'd already come to awakening. Now, Johoshi was an ancient teacher, an excellent poet, and much admired for his insight. His verse points to this deep insight. All things and I are of one substance. True enough, not unlike all beings, one body, we chant every time we meet. Riku Taifu was touched by Johoshi's words, so he says, isn't that absolutely fantastic? Maybe he understood the wonderful teaching that we're all one. But does he know this through his own experience? If he doesn't know this through his own experience, then Nansen's words are an encouragement to go further. Come out of the haze. See what's right here. Don't create a stopping place with your words. If he does know oneness, if he knows this emptiness through his own experience, Nansen's words are perhaps a poke, a shout, a put down, urging him to go further. Don't create a dead world with your idea of achievement. So here we have many possibilities, and Nansen's simple, direct answer to help us out of our dream. So here we are. And I've interrupted your zazen to give a talk on the useless futility of words and phrases. Zen is beyond words and letters, and yet, here I am, doing what? Creating a haze for your inspiration, to inspire you to do what? To go back and sit. It's embarrassing. So how do you inspire beyond words and letters? Well, Nansen pointed to a flower. He urged Riku Taifu to see it directly. See this flower. Sometimes we need someone from the outside to say, hey, you, wake up, wake up. That was what Nansen was trying to do. He was trying to make the flower bloom for Riku. He points to something real. He doesn't weave another dream. If you were one with that flower, how would you demonstrate that? Saying we're all of the same root is not enough. saying there is no root, all is empty, is not enough. So let's imagine that Riku Taifu had not come to awakening yet. Let's say he was inspired by the words of oneness, but did not yet know this for himself. Some words are inspiring. Some insights are inspiring. But the world is never perceived by layering it over with words. We spend much of our life sleepwalking and sleep-talking as if in a dream. The world reveals itself in every moment. It is profoundly important to silence the chatter of the mind and its constant comments and stories to come to direct contact with our moments. So Nansen directs him to a flower. Sesshin is designed to point you to your moment, to bring you into direct contact with each thing. Your foot as it touches the floor, the taste of your oatmeal, the sound of the bird, each moment as it occurs. Your practice is designed to keep you in touch with just this, just this, just this. Your practice, this moo, this who, this breath, is Nansen pointing to the flower to cut through the haze of the self. To use the mind to come back to practice takes what? Effort? Determination? Faith? Trust? Well, for me, I think the most important trait is wholeheartedness. Wholeheartedness speaks to the quality of attention and engagement that is required to stay with practice. Wholeheartedness is the best word I can think of to express the engagement required to break through over and over and over again these dream clouds that obscure. Let me tell you a story about wholeheartedness. When I worked in an elementary school, one of the kids' favorite authors was Maurice Sendak. He wrote Where the Wild Things Are. It was a beloved book for that age group. And Sendak tells the story of the best compliment he ever got. He said, "Once a little boy sent me a charming card with a little drawing on it. I loved it. I answer all my children's letters, sometimes very hastily, but this one I lingered over. I sent him a card, and I drew a picture of a wild thing on it. I wrote, 'Dear Jim, I loved your card.' Then I got a letter back from his mother, and she said, 'Jim loved your card. He opened it, he screamed, and then he ate it.'" That, to me, was one of the highest compliments I ever received. He didn't care it was an original Maurice Sendak drawing. He didn't care he could bring it to school for show and tell. He didn't care he could hang it in his room for all to admire. He saw it, he loved it, and he ate it. Can you feel the wholehearted engagement? This is the wholeheartedness that brings life to your practice. So don't let your zazen be just another dream. Don't let your practice be another accomplishment for a self. Zazen is the practice of sitting and holding wholeheartedly to this mu or hu or this breath. It is a practice of engaging with your moment-to-moment life of just this, just this, just this, and keep doing it until you become one, until you devour your moment with your practice of love and attention and wholehearted engagement. Until each moment manifests as heaven and earth and I are of the same root, all things and I are of one substance. Isn't that absolutely fantastic? This wild thing, this flower, this breath, just this. So Nansen points to a flower. People these days see this flower as if in a dream. Wake up! Wake up. Now, Riku Taifu was a very serious student of Nansen, and at the time of this encounter, maybe he had already had a realization that heaven and earth and I are of one root, all are of the same substance. Maybe he saw into the empty nature of all phenomena. If that was so, would Nansen have agreed and said, "Ah, yes, you're right, it is marvelous indeed"? No! He would have said, "People these days see this flower as if in a dream." There's a koan in the Mumon Kan, case number 46. Sekiso said, "How can you step forward from the top of the 100-foot pole?" Again, an ancient master said that one sitting on the top of a 100-foot pole, even if he has attained it, has not been truly enlightened. He must step forward from the top of the 100-foot pole and reveal his true self in the 10 directions. I wanted to say something about stepping off this 100-foot pole, about after realization, about not dwelling in this emptiness. And I struggled. How do I express this? How do I talk about stepping out of the dream world before awakening and after awakening? And then it came to me. In a dream. What a perfect cosmic joke. So I'm sitting in this great big osprey nest on the top of a 100-foot pole. The pole must have been higher than 100 feet because there was nothing but darkness and vast empty space. But I like it there. It's comfy. And then from way down below, I hear a knock on my front door. My mom answers it, and there stands Buddha, and he says, "Can Norma come out to play?" Suddenly, I shoot off that 100-foot pole and right straight down to my bedroom and come running out. And Buddha takes my hand and we go outside and I say, "What are we going to play?" And he says, "We're going to play hide-go-seek." And I start. And Buddha jumps right inside me to hide. And suddenly, my eyes and Buddha's eyes are the same eyes. I look around to see where I can hide. And I realize that I'm already hiding everywhere. I'm hiding in plain sight, in the leaves, and in the stones, and in the clouds. Everywhere I look, there I am. Same dream, new eyes. And I start to dance, because this is the place where the iron tree blooms, and this is the place where the stone woman dances. And it's always here in plain sight, right under our noses, sitting on the cushion or rising from the cushion to see what is before you. And so this is the place that we come to Sesshin to discover. This is the place we come out to play with the Buddha. This is the dream that will wake us up. This is your life. This is your dream. This is your opportunity to find yourself hiding in plain sight. My teacher Richard wrote a poem that so clearly expresses the essence of these koan. His poem says, "Teacher, though awakening is fortuitous and rare, it is made available to all when the blade of grass dons the raksu." Hear this. "Teacher, though awakening is fortuitous and rare, it is made available to all when the blade of grass dons the raksu." Nansen placed his raksu on the flower. Richard placed his raksu on a blade of grass. Beloved Buddhas, I place my raksu on you. We'll end there.